G'day listeners and welcome to the Winning Post Preview Podcast for the weekend of January 5, first Saturday of the brand new year 2019. I'm Joel Marshall and with John Barker away on holidays, a well-earned break for a couple of weeks. So I'll be introducing a new member of the podcast team and indeed quite a new addition to the Winning Post and Best Bets team, Daniel Nuttall. Daniel, good to have you on the podcast this week and You've been enjoying your time since you've joined the Winning Post and Best Bets, and well, this is you've made it now. You've made it into the podcast studio, this high tech podcast studio, and you must feel like you've made it.
Look, I can appreciate the introduction, Joel. I can die happy now for sure. No, as you said, it's been a great first couple of months here at the Winning Post. Really enjoying my time, and only keeping the seat warm for Barks while he's on holidays. But the next couple of weeks, let's hope we can find some winners together.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think in time we might get you in here. We used to have a three-way turf talk with myself, Barks and Carl, so you'll have to join us on a more regular basis. But this week, not a lot happening. All focus over in the west with the Group 2 Perth Cup, and it's sort of a quiet week in the eastern states. Gold Coast have the May meeting in Queensland. Of course, it's really heating up there in 7 days' time when it's Magic Millions Day, but it's Ladies' Day on Saturday, no black type racing, but there is a two-year-old race where a number of horses are trying to sneak in via the last possible entry into the Magic Millions next week, the two-year-old classic, so we'll discuss that race and maybe a couple of the other features on the Gold Coast program, but we'll kick off with Ascot, and I know you haven't done the form for this meeting, Daniel, and neither have I, so we'll be relying on our Winning Post expert, our Western Australian expert, BJ Ryan, who's been knocking up the winners in recent weeks, had a fabulous summer carnival, and well, the Group 2 Perth Cup is the feature at Ascot on Saturday, race 8 on the 9 race card. We've got a couple of big fields to finish off the program there, and well, it's no surprise when the feature races are up for grabs. We've got Willie Pike aboard a favourite for the Bob Peters Investments team, and five runners in the 16-horse field, I think, at this stage will sport the Peters Cerise and White Silks, but the favourite is Action from the Grant and Alana Williams yard, the WA Derby winner. He's yet to win this prep, but he's been ticking over beautifully, and Willie Pike has chosen him. He rode him in the ATA Stakes last start. They chased home the stablemate Mississippi Delta, who's going to give him a good run for his money again, I would have thought, but Action is favourite, looks the one to beat, and BJ Ryan certainly with him. We've got a big, nice photo of Action on the front cover of this week's Winning Post. BJ's numbers for the Perth Cup are 3-10, 4-1. Action to beat Mississippi Delta, Capo D'Oro from the Fred Kersley team, and number one, Gatting, who's got the top weight of 59 kilos, Damien Land to ride. He's got him in for fourth. There are a couple more black type races on the program at Ascot on Saturday. Race 5 is the Summer Scorcher over 1,000 metres. Misty Metal is the top pick for BJ. Number 7 to beat 5, 3 and 2. And race 6 is the Latrice Classic Group 3 race for mares. Celebrity Dream didn't have much luck sitting wide last start. Willie Pike and Bob Peters owned this one in the Adam Durant stable. BJ's got a bit of a question mark on her at the distance, the 1,800 metres, but drawn well. He's got her in for fourth. He's with number 5, Lucky Roar, on top, though. Jason Brown for Jim Taylor, 5 on top from 3, 2, and 1. BJ's best is Royal Statue. Race 3, number 4, the Durant-Peters-Pike combination, and his value bet is Brother's Keeper. Race 4, number 2, Troy Turner to ride. Tricky gate for the 2,200 metres. If he gets a bit of luck, he'll be strong late. Race 4, number 2. Before all that action rolls around, though, on Saturday, we're going to need to build a bank, and we're going to do that, hopefully, via a decent program at Caulfield. And, Daniel, you have done the form for Caulfield. As mentioned, no black type racing, but a solid program and 9 races on the card. I haven't seen your best in value, but I know you are keen on one of Wendy Kelly's, race 4, number 10, Vitani. You've done a story for the paper this week with Wendy, so what are your thoughts on that mare in particular, and give us your best and value for the card at Caulfield?
Yeah, look, Joel, I think it's a sneaky good card at Caulfield. I know it's all benchmark races, 64-84, but I think it's some very good betting races on the card, and plenty of chances to build a bank, as you said, for the stakes racing later in the day in WA. Look, I've made my best of the card, race 2, number 11, Cincinnati Red. Look, it was a clear black book run last start at Flemington. Michael Poy comes off, Mark Zara goes on. I like the way that this mare was in front of her rivals 100 metres after the line. She looked like she was going up and down at one spot, really, at the top of the straight, but really powered home well. And a fourth up now at a 1400 metres again, I think she can be winning and will prove hard to hold out. Vitani, as you mentioned in race 4, I did the story with Wendy earlier in the week for the Winning Post edition this week. And look, Wendy was quite keen on Vitani's chances. However, just reading racing.com actually had a story, and if it's a good three track on Saturday, obviously been plenty of debate in recent weeks of the firm tracks, the trainers not preferring to run their horses on very firm tracks, and yeah, Wendy's in that corner as well. I don't think Vitani will be starting if it's a good three, but if it's a good four or worse, she will start. I think she'll be hard to beat there. She's about $6. I think that's a good each way value. And I think the best value on the card, Joel, comes in the last, Barcelona. Look, it's an open race, no doubt. But God, I love this gelding's jump outs at Flemington and Werribee. They've been very good.
He's a very honest galloper, isn't he? Absolutely. Had a great campaign last time in.
Yeah, and loves it first up. Not to miss a place yet. Two wins, a second and two thirds. So, look, in an open race, admittedly, the likes of Demolition and Exaltara go around. They're good horses. But I think Barcelona presents pretty good value at $11 when I last checked the market. So that'll be my each way bet of the day at Caulfield.
All right. Well, I know I'm going head-to-head with our Winning Post boss and editor, Tony Kneebone, as my best bet. He's keen on Kaplumpich from the Weir Yard, race 3, number 7. However, I've made my best Magnesium Rose, number 2. Loved her return at Mooney Valley. Joined in out wide, and then, look, it was a good race for the closers. She joined in, and then Demolition grabbed her, and then Exaltara grabbed Demolition. Late Demolition's going to be hard to beat in the last. I think Magnesium Rose, mare's great. Yeah, she's got 59.5, but Craig Williams, good gate, trained locally, won 2 from 4 at Caulfield. I think she's a good play. Race 3, number 2. I've made my value Notio from the Hawks Yard. Race 6, number 4. He was my value bet when winning second up in Sydney. He's had 2 runs since. Didn't have all favours at Rose Hill at his next start, and then sent down to the Team Hawks Flemington base, and he went to Caulfield on Boxing Day, just stepped a little bit slow, and ended up getting back and ran good late splits behind Silence. Has to turn the tables on that galloper, but I think Barrier 2, he did draw well last start. If he can jump, he can settle a bit closer, and I think each way in OTO might be worth a little bit of a look. And I made my roughie for the day, race 8, number 9, Sabotage. There's going to be a warm favourite here in number 11, Mastering. I think I'm the only person in the Winning Post panel that did not make it a unanimous selection on top. Instead, I went for Sabotage, who showed a bit of promise last prep when arriving from New Zealand. Ran some decent races. Thought the first up run was okay. Got back at Mooney Valley. That wasn't really going to suit. Chelsea McFarlane, 3 kilos off. 18-1. Can certainly back him each way. Mastering will be hard to beat. However, moving on to racing in Sydney this week. We had a change of venues earlier in the week. We're supposed to be at Warwick Farm, but I think they're tipping 38 at Warwick Farm, and a little bit cooler towards further into the city where Randwick, I think about 33. So they've moved the meeting to Randwick on the Kensington track. I think Randwick is racing next Saturday on the course proper, but on the Kenzo this week. And yeah, 9-race program, no black type. We did see, of course, a little bit of black type action through the week there in Sydney, but look, I've made my best for the meeting Shawnee, race 4, number 9. First up run I thought was disappointing on the heavy track. She was well backed, expected more midweek, and she was a bit disappointing. I don't think she handled the heavy. They gave her a bit of time off. She galloped with Group 1 winner coming through in a track gallop. She trialled super. I thought she'd be hard to beat at Warwick Farm next time, and then heavy track again. I thought she handled it okay, better than first up, but the only problem was she was down near the inside rail in the straight, and that wasn't the place to be. I thought she did a good job to run four. I think this is very winnable. A lot of last start winners and a lot of different form lines make it tricky, but I think it's a bit of tail to the race. So I'm keen on Shawnee, race 4, number 9. I made my value Sparky Lad, race 9, number 9. Numerical form, not very flash this time in, but he's come up, I think, sort of only $657 in the market. It's that sort of race. It's not overly strong. He didn't have an official trial before his first up run, so you're kind of expecting him to need a couple of runs and that's sort of been his profile through his career anyway. And then they put the blinkers on at Warwick Farm last start. But again, he was another horse that was stuck down near the inside. He drew well, box seated, but as it turned out, wasn't in the right ground. James McDonald sticks aboard, and the way the Kenzo track's been playing lately, coming wide and swooping's been a pretty good recipe late in the day, and I think that'll suit Sparky, that he can settle further back from the wide draw and be very strong late. But certainly wouldn't want to be stepping into anything shorter than his current price at about $6 or $7. That's probably about me done. First race, two-year-olds, interesting. There's a few double acceptors, so it'll be interesting to see just who lines up here, because we've got a few that are entered for, I think, Canterbury Friday night, even the Gold Coast, so a bit tricky. I originally tipped number 4, 24 Carat, who's been given a good grounding by John O'Shea. 4 trials since early November, so shouldn't lack for much experience, even though he hasn't been to the races. Cost a fortune, this bloke, $850,000. He looks to have decent ability. He'll be better with the run, but better over a bit further, I think. But he has trialled okay, so I've tipped him. Daniel, what were your thoughts on the Kensington program?
Yeah, look, I'm in your corner with Shawnee, Joel. You hit it on the head, really, most of what you said. I just don't think she really likes wet ground at this stage of her career. And in the wrong part of the track, certainly last start. She was well backed. She's been well backed in both starts, obviously a good sign. She was $16, $17 earlier in the week before her last start. She got backed into $8 there. And as you said, I think Shawnee will be quite hard to beat, hence my best on the card. Look, not a much value around in this meeting, but I have got one that's come up about $22, $23 who it might be worth chucking a couple of dollars each way at. That's a Godolphin runner in Tessera in race 8. Look, first up, didn't do much really, but this is I think much easier than that race. Claims 3, Robbie Dolan, in form apprentice. And I think the second up form reads pretty well, this Medaglia d'Oro gelding. I think at $23, look, in an open race, I think is simply the wrong price. So, as I said, I'll be having a couple each way on that galloper. And yet, other than that, not much else on the Sydney card. But my best bet, Shawnee in race 4, and the value race 8, number 1, to Sarah.
Yeah, blinkers back on to Sarah, and that's a bit of a funny race, that race, because Hart Concord's looked really good on heavy tracks at his last couple.
That's right.
Different scenario. He's up 4 kilos, he's got a dry track, and there's a bit of pressure. See Stella leads pretty comfortably, want to get a Watts, got good pace, and a couple of others. So, yeah, different scenario for Hart Concord. I think I did tip him, checking my picks. Yeah, I did lean to him, but I wouldn't need to have my arm twisted.
No, wide of the quaddy, no doubt.
Yeah, I think there's a few others. Rebel Miss is a tricky mare to catch. She's very honest. She just can have trouble winning. It's been 485 days since her last win, but she's been trialing well, and she'll be hitting the line hard off what should be a good pace. So she was the one that I had in for second, but I think it's an even race, and if you're looking for value, maybe Tessera could be one for the listeners to certainly have a second look at. Gawler race in South Australia, Morfordville having a couple of weeks off. Gawler will be the venue next Saturday also. Smallish fields, a couple of decent sizes. A couple of legs of the quaddy have held up okay, but Daniel, what are we looking at for Gawler on Saturday?
Yeah, look, the best comes up in race 6, Joel. Philip Stokes trained runner Over and Above. He holds a pretty good hand on the card. I think his charge in the next race, race 7, which is a good idea, will be hard to beat also. But I made Over and Above the best. A really good win last start, visually pleasing. And I think has worked well in track work during the week, and with Chris Caserta claiming 2 down to 57 kilos. I think in a small field, Over and Above will be hard to beat. The value comes up in the last. And it's encouraging to know that our colleague Daniel Bork's come up with the same tip in Gouges down the bottom, the 12. Look, horse hasn't won much, 1 of 16. Record doesn't make for great reading, but, really, look at his form. It hasn't been too bad of late. Was lame last start. Prior to that, wasn't far off Be My Star. He was a smart horse from the McAvoy Yard. I think actually might have won midweek Doomben race yesterday.
Yes, she did.
And the start prior experimentation was only half a length of that horse, so I think would be a favourite in this race. So I think at $21 when I last checked, I think that's a pretty good each way play to come home in the last at Gawler.
All right, well, it might be time for me to throw a dollar on him, because I don't bet much in Adelaide, but I think it was in the final race of the day three runs back, and I sort of wanted to sort out a bit of a roughie. I was obviously chasing at that stage of the day, and I remember having a couple of dollars each way on it, and just looking at the price here, it was 50-1. I would have been spewing that it ran second. I sort of remember it running on well and certainly placing at good odds. As you said, excuses last time. So, it might be time to jump back aboard Gouges. Gold Coast, as we mentioned earlier, they kick off their carnival with a program on Saturday, Metro program. And as we touched on, the two-year-old race, race six, holds a bit of interest because a few of these are outside of the order of entry for next week's $2 million two-year-old classic. We've got the Odyssey, number one. He's in the race. He's got his spot shored up. I think they're sort of looking at Sunlight's formula of winning last year on the seven-day backup. So they're sort of trying to emulate that with the Odyssey. He beat Sun City last start and Cremeric, and those two went super last week. Sun City obviously winning, so nothing wrong with the Odyssey's form. Those that are looking to try and sneak in, certainly Divine Factor. She's had a bit of specking in early Magic Millions betting. I know the horse of McAvoy's last week, Just Serene, was sort of got all the headlines about early betting and shortening, but Divine Factor, I think, was 50s into 15s, and she ran really well on debut behind Dubious, so I've tipped her. I reckon she can run really well. Number 9, Exhilarates, is the other one. She's not far off the order of entry, but I think they do need to run. And this is the Godolphin team. I think this might be one of their first runners in a two-year-old Magic Millions. Of course,
yeah, they don't have many, do they?
Yeah, most of their horses homebreds, and last year they were able to win a couple of races, a couple of wild cards, and get entry in. And last week they did just that with Manicure and Tally. So they've booked their spot. But in terms of the actual two-year-old classic, I don't know if they've actually had many runners at all. This might even be their first if she can sneak in. She's chased Sar Sun and Unite and Conquer at her last two. They're the Waterhouse Bop train pair who are already in the field for next week. She certainly creates plenty of interest. But I've gone 8 Divine Factor to beat 9 Exhilarates, 1 the Odyssey, and 2 Neptune Spear. Be interesting to see whether he runs. He's drawn wide. He's a Karaka Million horse. I think he'll be headed to New Zealand for Liam Birchley. He won on debut like a smart colt. He's obviously looking at this as a bit of a lead-in towards that race over in New Zealand. But as I said, drawn wide, it'll be interesting to see whether he elects to wait for another option. My best for the Gold Coast, race 7. Gee, the market on this race came up very funny last night. Number 9, Snow Valley's my best. They were on to her. You couldn't sort of get too big a price, and she is favourite. She's 2 from 2, both at Lismore. It's a big step up in class, but she looks very smart. She's put away her rivals with a stack of ease at both starts. So I'm keen on her. Number 1, Unconditional, I thought was the hardest to beat. I think he went up $16. He might be into about 7 or 8 now, which I still think is over. So even though my best is in that race, Unconditional, I thought was over the odds. And maybe the bookies know something I don't, but the number 13, Love Struck, opened up at around $8. I could see him being at least 50-1, if not 100-1. Placed 1 from 7. That only placing was in a maiden. So just might be keen to watch the market closer to the jump for him, because sometimes these corporates, I've noticed when they put these real sort of roughies with not much form, when they keep them pretty safe, they often run quite well. So just keep tabs on Love Struck. I couldn't have him, but obviously the early odd setters can. My best is Snow Valley. As I said, my value is Skate to Paris, race 9, number 12. One run back from a spell, was pretty good, chased home the promising type in She Spicy, who did get rolled, I think, at Doomben yesterday, but ran well. One win from 15 is the obvious knock, but she's been placed at stakes level, 7 seconds, so she's never too far away from the action. And I thought each way bet her in the last might be the way to go. Across the Tasman on Saturday, we've got racing at Awapuni and Ruakaka. The best for Awapuni is She's Not Bad, race 4, number 5, and the value is Scarlowe, race 8, number 5, and for Ruakaka, my best is Gino Severini, race 2, number 2, and the value bet is Selvamani. Race 3, number 9, and also race 6, number 6, entered for 2 races. I think she'll be hard to beat in whichever one they contest. The race 6 is the 1,200 metres, but worth a little bit more money. And race 3 is the 1,400. Both maidens. In fact, there's a few double entries through that meeting at Ruakaka on Saturday, so certainly pay close attention to the scratchings come race morning. Well, that just about takes us out for this week's racing podcast. Don't forget to get out and pick up your winning post. All the action covered once again. All your regular articles to read and features. And, of course, form from Friday right through till Monday, and a big lift out for, of course, Perth Cup Day at Ascot. Daniel, at this stage of the podcast, Barks usually gets a $20 bet from me, so I'll ask that of you, and whilst you're finalising that, I will make my $20 bet Magnesium Rose Caulfield Race 3, number 2. I think she'll be very hard to beat.
Yeah, well, I'm going to split mine up, Joel. I'm going to put $15 on a multi with my best bet, Cincinnati Red at Caulfield, all into my best bet at the Kensington track, Shawnee. Just off the top of my head, I'm no mathematician by any means, but I think that comes to roughly about $12. So 15 by 12, it's a pretty good pickup for mine. Happy to go that way. And I'll put my remaining $5 on my best roughie of the day, which comes up in the last at Gawler, race 8. Gouges there at about 20 to 1. So happy to play my 20 that way.
Excellent. Well, there you go, listeners. Not lacking for confidence. First day in the podcast, and we're taking a $15 all-up multi. So that is great. That's what we want, confidence. And, well, if this gets up, I think Barks will be looking for another gig on a Thursday afternoon.
That's
he may
plan.
Not get back in this podcast studio. There you go, listeners. Have a good Perth Cup day, and we will be back next week with the preview podcast.